Bob Fitrakis is an Ohio lawyer based in Columbus who is currently in Cleveland for the convention. He represents a plaintiff that's suing Edison Media Research, Inc., a New Jersey corporation that conducted exit polls in Ohio, in Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Massachusetts, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, New Hampshire, Vermont, Virginia, South Carolina, Wisconsin, New York, Indiana, Florida, Illinois, Missouri, North Carolina, Connecticut, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Nebraska, and West Virginia during this year's presidential primary elections. The lawsuit details that the exit polls varied dramatically with the vote that was published officially on primary day. In many cases, in 12 states in particular, it exceeded the level that the U.S. State Department uses to measure whether or not an election elsewhere was free and fair. The lawsuit details the fact that after seeing the official tally in each case, Edison Media Research modified its exit poll so that it conformed to the official tally. After looking to see if the process was transparent in order to measure the accuracy of the revisions, they were rebuffed and brought the lawsuit. We spoke with Bob Fitrakis about that via Skype from Cleveland Saturday. Bob Fitrakis, very interesting lawsuit. Let's hear a description.
Well, really, we're suing Edison Research Group, arguing that they're working in collaboration or colluding with the secretaries of state in various states to adjust the polls so we don't get an accurate total for who really won the election.
Yeah, it seems that apparently in a number of states, the exit polls that they were conducting with the full assistance of the state authorities, permission to be near the polling stations and all of that, that the exit polls showed one thing at one time, and then after the official count came out, they were revised. And what you're looking for is some transparency, and they're refusing it, right?
Right. We'd really like to see how the exit polls, which are the international gold standards for detecting election fraud, why this company or how it is adjusting them and simply assuming that the official vote total is correct as opposed to their samples. And again, normally you could say that the official vote total would be correct if they were actually transparent and verifiable. But since partisan for-profit corporations using proprietary software count our votes and they don't meet any minimum standard of transparency, by collaborating like this, by assuming a non-transparent voting system, which has been privatized, is accurate, essentially, you don't know. Either these people are, to some extent, done the most incompetent exit pollers and social scientists on earth, or someone is involved in doctoring and defrauding our election.
Yeah, let me frame this for listeners a little bit. Before we had all these black box voting machines, you could physically verify, if it were necessary, as it became necessary, who voted for whom, but each ballot who was selected on those ballots. You had a piece of paper, whether it was a roll or a physical ballot that could be examined and audited and recounted against whatever automatic mechanism was used for tallying. And with these machines, you don't. As you put it last time we spoke, it's like a push and pray. So the problem now is that on the other end of it, you've had exit polling and the results, known to people, and then a substantial vector between what the exit polls showed at the beginning and the count, and then a revision of the exit polls, and no transparency about how that happens at all for any of it.
Yeah, now we'd really like to look at their methodology, their samples. We'd like them to explain how they were 36 percentage points off. in Arizona, but 10 percentage points off in Ohio, is that in 12 states, the results are so improbable. If those states were nation states, the world community would not recognize them as valid elections.
Yeah, I mean, this is a science. You've said that the U.S. State Department uses a 5% vector as the standard as to whether or not to certify an election.
Yeah, the U.S. State Department and the Agency on International Development, I mean, they write books and pamphlets on this stuff, using the exit polls as the best single detector of fraud.
If one were looking to, for a remedy in terms of how the primaries get actualized at the conventions, of course, you'd have to reach into the delegate certification process that goes on at the conventions. And in particular, we're talking here primarily about Clinton and Sanders and a condition where the exit polls would have show that Sanders should have had enough delegates to win on a first ballot victory, and instead he doesn't and is, you know, making political statements of concession right now. If what you're looking for in terms of this process would be evidence for something that would reach into the convention, how would that work?
Well, the convention itself appears, based on the exit polls, to be nominating the wrong person. And more than that, my preference is that there should be a criminal investigation. I'm not accusing the Clinton campaign of, systematically stealing elections, but if you look at the stripping of the voter rolls, which is also done with computerized poll books, and electronic computerized control of the voter databases, is somebody, I don't know who it is, what party, what motives, is clearly stealing votes, repressing Sanders voters, and then in at least 12 of these states, flipping votes as needed. So, I would prefer a criminal investigation. I think there should be a massive floor fight. My suit is probably a little too late that may impact the November election in terms of what can and can't be done. But there should be a major floor fight over the question of democracy and how somebody gets nominated that's clearly there by fraud.
You know, it seems that the rules, of course, would be looking to the official vote count as being the final arbiter of how someone gets seated there, along with the individual criteria for each of the delegates. But the certified vote count, of course, places Clinton ahead of Sanders, although not in a position for a first ballot victory without the so-called superdelegates. With a floor fight, and with a full vetting of this chicanery in front of the convention, do you think there's any chance that it could impact the outcome of what happens in Philadelphia?
Well, it could, but it really depends upon the willingness of the Sanders people to push the extremes and also what is logical, that they're entitled to far more delegates than they were granted. So with their candidate endorsing Clinton, that could be problematic. But if people were just concerned, not with an individual candidate, but the principle of representation and democracy, they've got more than enough evidence to reassign delegates and credential them. My understanding, though, the exact opposite is going on. The Clinton people that are often more veteran party activists and, deal with the boards of elections and registrars are, in fact, decredentialing Sanders people. So instead of getting the delegates he deserves to be nominated, he's getting less than probably he won in a crooked vote count.
And finally, going forward, if the litigation is able to uncover this fraud and show some connection between Clinton's campaign and the illegal activity that produced this result, do you think that should or would have an impact on the outcome of the election?
I think if we show, fraudulent behavior in any way, link it to the Clinton campaign, then she should probably resign and Sanders should be nominated. And I think in all likelihood, I can't understand, and I don't know what level it would be at, but I can't understand how she is not aware that she is only there because of the most flagrant stripping of the voter rolls, deregistering Sanders' votes at such a high level. It's really in many states, Arizona, Alabama, California, New York, it's a coup d'etat. She's got to be aware that somebody is gaming and manipulating the system in an illegal way. And if that's tied to her campaign, I can't see with the email and some of the other problems how she can remain a viable candidate.
And just for a final point, question, the superdelegates are mostly elected officials and other senior government officials that are affiliated with the party. Does that include the heads of the Board of Elections in many of these states?
Oh, no, absolutely. Because, for example, in Ohio, in my county, Franklin County, the Board of Election director, the executive director, was also for a long period of time the chair of the party. Usually each of the major parties get to nominate in our state the director and the assistant director, depending on whether they won that county or not. And by the way, our chair of the Board of Election in Franklin County, where Columbus is in Ohio, was just indicted for signing off on a ghost employee at the Board of Elections. So these are the type of people that are controlling the vote.
I'm Bob Fitrakis. Thank you very much.
Thank you.